Rudy Carpenter is a former college and pro quarterback and actually wore number 12 for Tampa before Tom Brady. In 2013, the Chiefs gave Rudy Carpenter a look after he was released by Tampa and Dallas, but it didn't work out. Today, Rudy Carpenter is a football analyst for Sirius Satellite Radio and a sports and politics commentator on radio in Phoenix. Of course, this is right in the wheelhouse for Weekends with Spencer, and Rudy Carpenter is the perfect guest to talk football and politics on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. It's brought to you by Buck Roofing and Construction, online at rbuckroofing.com. It's the only name you'll need for all your roofing needs, whether it's a free inspection when you mention the podcast, or if you have a small repair or need a new roof, Ron Buck and his team are available 24/7 if you have an emergency, so you can sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at joslynsjewelry.com. Joslyn's is the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Never a sales commission at Joslyn's, just the best products at the lowest prices and customer service that's pretty much unheard of. And Fry Orthodontics, 12 area locations for your convenience. There's one near you. First appointment is always free if you mention Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online at fryorthodontics.com. At Fry Ortho, your smile is just the start. Rudy Carpenter, former college and pro quarterback and political commentator on Weekends with Spencer. Hit it!
Sports, politics, life. Back 9 Development presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online at back9development.com.
It's the weekend edition of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. I am Spencer Keatsman, and for my dad, my guest is Rudy Carpenter. He was a 4-year starter at Arizona State, Southern California native, 61% career efficiency as a Sun Devil, 81 touchdowns. He is the second all-time at ASU in passing yards, and Arizona State is pretty much 4-year starter you, Rudy. You were one of the guys to do it. You followed a guy named Andrew Walter. Those are some tough shoes. It's like, hey, hello, welcome to ASU. You're taking over for this guy. How's it going, man? Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And Andrew was a great player and a great mentor and a guy that ran for, local Senate seat here in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And you also work now as a quarterback coach, a mentor. You contribute to Sirius Radio, KTAR News, and Arizona Sports 98.7 here in Phoenix. Rudy, when is Sirius going to give you that Howard Stern money? Is that coming anytime soon?
Yeah, man, that's I'm waiting for the same thing. I mean, man, that would be really nice. I could tell you that. My wife, I think she would like me a little bit more.
So what do you do with Sirius?
Yeah, I mean, I do all kinds of stuff. So I host a show, Pac-12 Today, a lot with Jeff Schwartz and a couple other hosts that are on there, Evan Moore, some other guys, Roxy Bernstein, those guys. Mm-hmm. So it's a fun show. We spend a lot of time just talking about Pac-12 football and, you know, all the different things that are going on within the conference. But really the focus is on football. The focus is on, you know, the Pac-12 coaches and players and athletic directors and kind of the state of the conference. And it's a fun show. They also have me on a lot. For some people who listen to Mad Dog Radio, they mm-hmm. have me on there quite a bit, which is also a fun show to be on, and some ESPNU. So I've done some NFL radio as well mm-hmm. with Zig, and it's a fun news station or radio station, I should say. And gives me a lot of exposure to spout my crazy opinions.
And you've got a lot of good ones too. Just follow Rudy Carpenter on Twitter as well. You'll see a lot of good stuff there. And you also contribute here. We work in the same building. Our paths have crossed a few times. I haven't really gotten a whole lot of chances to talk to you. That's why I'm kind of excited about this. But you contribute with KTAR News. Is news and politics something that you were always interested in, or is that just a post-football thing for you?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think what really happened for me is I spent a lot of my childhood and a lot of my younger life being raised or a lot with, you know, spent a lot of time with my grandmother. I lived with her a lot. My mm-hmm. grandmother, she's obviously much older than me. She's still alive. She's 88 years old.
All right.
Still works, still drives, on no medication. She crushes it, right?
Wow.
But growing up in her house, she's a single woman, you know, it was just me and her in there a lot. She was, you know, kind of like every elderly woman, right? Like she, maybe women or elderly men, just mm-hmm. people who are at home, they watch a lot of news. They watch a lot of TV. And for my grandmother, it's a lot of politics, a lot of political shows, It's a lot of, you know, cable news channels, but it was also a lot of Dateline NBC and 60 Minutes and all kinds of shows, you know, 48 Hours Mystery, right? All these shows that those people watch. And really since then, I kind of just got into it. And when I went to college, the criminal justice is what I majored in. And depending on how you look at that, there could be a lot of politics involved in that. And then obviously sports is, you know, what I, you know, was best at, I felt. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's an interesting place to be, but I, at this point, I really like to talk sports and politics. I think so much of it has to do with our culture too. And now we're at this point where there's just so much cross-pollinization, you know, and, it just seems to me that there's really only one viewpoint and one opinion that's allowed and there's really no deviation from that. And I think that we ought to just start asking more questions, you know, and I think we would find out some more answers that would be important answers to find out.
Well, you're from Thousand Oaks, correct? Is that your hometown?
Yep.
Okay, so if there's anywhere in California that leans conservative, that's got to be it, right?
Yeah, that's definitely a town that is definitely a more conservative bent. It's interesting because you have the beach that's close and you have that type of community, Malibu that's close, Calabasas that's right down the street, Westlake Village. These are all wealthy, you know, areas that are also very liberal. But Thousand Oaks is an interesting pocket because there's a lot of service people that live there. So a lot of firefighters, a lot of police officers. And then you have a lot of blue collar workers. So, for instance, you know, growing up in my neighborhood in the high school that I first went to, my dad is a construction worker and all of my friends' dads are construction workers or in something like that. So we all thought that the wealthy kids and the rich kids at our school were their dads were the firefighters. Their dads were the police officers.
Really?
Right. And so for us, that was just kind of like, hey, those are the wealthy people. You know, they got a mom and a dad, too. Most of us come from single parent homes. Right. And that was just kind of what it was. And so because of the blue collar, I think it's obviously a heavily white area, too. And so I think that just led to it probably being a more conservative bent. I think my viewpoint is interesting. So I think a lot of people who especially follow me on Twitter think I'm very conservative. But I also get a lot of people on there who think I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter. And I actually am proud of that because I think that means my viewpoints are diverse.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
And I'm not just voting on a single issue. And I think in today's society, it's really what we do. We just pick a color and vote straight down the ballot or we pick an issue and vote straight down the ballot. And I think it's a little bit more complicated than that. And there's an interesting sports intersection, I think, that's taken over the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, you know, it's sort of similar. My dad did sports radio in Kansas City for 30 years. And he, you know, I remember hearing people come up to him in public and stuff like that saying, you know, how could you say this about Mizzou? How could you say this about K-State? How could you say this about Kansas? And with pro sports there, it's different because everybody in Kansas City likes the Chiefs. They like the Royals, but everyone has their own college allegiances. If all those schools fans hate you, then you're doing something right. Is that kind of how it is? And it's the same with politics. Like you just mentioned, if you've got people thinking you're way right, and then all of a sudden somebody throws out, hey, you probably supported Bernie. That's a good thing, right?
Well, I mean, look, I think so. And I guess what I'm saying is I just try to look at some hard facts. And if you want to look at some hard facts, look at people, Spencer, who are in our age group. I don't know how old you are. I'm just throwing.
I'm 31. We're right around that. We're in the same generation. Yeah.
So a lot of people who are in our age brackets, you know, look, I didn't get married and I didn't have a kid until I was over 30 years old. And for our parents and their parents, that would have been considered ancient. Mm-hmm. And you have to ask yourself the question, why are people waiting to get married? And why are people waiting to have kids? And you might say, well, that's because they want to have a good time longer and they're more educated. Well, maybe, but I also think they have this incredible amount of debt just looming over their heads for a very long time with student debt.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult for people when they have that large student debt and they're trying to buy a home and they're trying to buy a house and they're trying to get their first job and, you know, they're trying to pay for everything. It's almost impossible. There's no way. I have a sister who's a police officer in California. And on her salary, there's no way that she'll ever be a homeowner in California.
Yeah.
And so it's impossible. So to me, you know, I can understand why a guy like Bernie Sanders and that sentiment makes a lot of sense for people in my age group and or younger, right? But I can also understand, you know, the people who are on the opposite side of that, who just completely understand there's no such thing as a free lunch and you can't just forgive a bunch of debt. And they also understand that the reason why we have this debt is because as soon as the federal government started backing student loans, universities started jacking up tuition. Mm-hmm. That's just what's going to happen, right? And so to me, you know, like I said, I just think we all have two ears and one mouth for a reason. It's so we can listen twice as much as we talk, but it doesn't seem like any of us really ever do that.
Yeah, and you look at places like California, look at Illinois, look at New York, look at these Massachusetts, these states that are just so overwhelmingly blue, and how broke they are. And it's up to the rest of the taxpayers in the middle of the country in the smaller states like Kansas, 3 million people, Missouri, 6 million people. That doesn't, you know, that doesn't even equal the Bay Area or Los Angeles or anything like that. I mean, so it's up to, I feel like the middle of the country bails out these states with these massive cities that just lean blue, that are locked down right now. Look, lockdowns don't work. They have not worked during the pandemic. It is ridiculous. And it's going to be up to the flyover states in the middle of the country to bail these broke-ass states out on the West and East Coast.
Well, I disagree with you on one sentiment. You said they lean blue. No, these are
hardcore, blue.
Core deep blue states that will literally never change. But I got to be honest with you, Spencer. Today, I was at a park in Phoenix right down the street from my house. And the Gestapo was out there. The park rangers were out there today. They were not allowing people to use the park. Here was their thing. If you came and wanted to use the playground and it was an unorganized event, you could do that. But if you wanted to use the grass field and play catch with your son, you could do that. But if you wanted to use the grass field for an organized practice, you could not do that. So look, this was just in Phoenix today. And this is a city that this is not a city, this is a state that used to be a deep red mm-hmm. state. And now we have cities like Phoenix who are having some of the most, look, we are not going to get COVID outside at a park.
No.
All of the park rangers today who were on duty literally were walking around with masks on at the park, giving citations for dogs not on a leash.
Oh, for God's sake.
Too many kids per group at the playground, and they kicked off a parent and his four kids because it's a group bigger than two trying to fly a kite. I mean, this is Phoenix, okay? But if I were to go four streets down to Scottsdale, there's nothing like that going on in Scottsdale. And you have to ask yourself, why? Well, because the city council in one city, Phoenix, yeah. is hardcore liberal, hardcore left. The city council in Scottsdale, not so much, or used to not be so much, okay? So it's just, this is what's going on. And the sad thing about what this pandemic has done is there is a real divide in mm-hmm. education. There is a real divide in a wage gap. There is a real divide between the haves and the have-nots. If I told you guys what I made just in the stock market in the last year, it's disgusting. People like me should not be able to take advantage like this, but mm-hmm. we do, and I don't feel bad about it. But the problem is when you have these lockdowns, you don't have kids going to school, and you look around the state of Arizona, just in high school sports, who played football? Pinnacle, Chaparral, Saguaro, mm-hmm. Hamilton, Chandler, all the Gilbert schools, meaning all of the suburban schools of all the kids who are the haves, who didn't play football this year, who didn't have in-person classes, all of the Phoenix Union schools.
Yep.
That's our quote-unquote inner-city schools. Now, you think those kids are getting all their meals at home? You think those kids have broadband and Wi-Fi at home? You think that the abuse or the drug use in those homes are maybe a little bit higher? You can say whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. That's not nice or it's insensitive, but it's just the facts.
Yeah.
So those kids now fall much further behind my kids who go to private schools. They don't adhere to these rules, right?
Yeah.
Or all the other kids who live in my area who have Wi-Fi at home and have parents who can afford to sit at home all day and do schooling with them, right? So, look, you also look in these states like you're talking, the homelessness is incredible. The property taxes are insane. The property values are not affordable. I mean, it's absolutely, it's despicable, and you're right. The flyover states and the states that are now desirable, where you see all the people from California moving to Arizona,
Texas,
Texas, yeah. Idaho, Utah, right? now they're coming to our states and they're voting these same crazy ways. Mm-hmm. And it shows here in Arizona, the first time in who knows how long, that we have two very liberal senators.
It's been a while. I do know that it's been the first time since Bill Clinton that the state voted blue in the presidential race. I know that. But I don't know about the two senators. I haven't lived here long enough to know that. But hey, man, like what you said about the schools, my girlfriend's a teacher in the Paradise Valley District. It's called a Title I school. I assume you know what that means. And so very low income families. And she has trouble getting kids to get online for class, you know, and not to mention they have siblings and some of these kids are responsible for their younger siblings while they're in elementary school trying to take an online class. I mean, it's just a freaking joke. Like, I can't imagine a situation like that. And look, Rockhurst High School in Kansas City, Missouri, here's a good example of how ridiculous this is. They're in the middle of their state playoffs. I believe they were undefeated. They're probably the number one team in the state. They had one kid test positive for COVID, and they had to forfeit their state playoff game. They're done. I mean, what are we teaching these guys? Isn't that a joke?
Well, I mean, look, the entire thing is a joke, and you know who's laughing is people like Jeff Bezos. And to me, I just don't understand it, okay? I don't understand why, you know, you can walk into a Walmart and shop and a Costco and shop and all the Target and all the big stores that are multi-billion dollar companies, but you can't go into local restaurants and eat dinner. I mean, it's just, to me, it just doesn't make sense at all. It doesn't make sense. And you look at the states that have these mask mandates and these lockdowns and all of this, and it's the states like California who are still struggling. It's the states like New York that are still struggling. And look, I mean, I guess this is where my libertarian side of me comes in. Look, I'm all for science. I'm all for, you know, trying to do what's best for the greater good. But at the end of the day, this is America, and people should be made aware of, hey, there's this COVID-19 going around. It can be very deadly for these types of people. Here are the facts on it. Now it's up to you people to decide how you want to do it. If people like me choose to go out in public, if people like me choose to eat out at a restaurant, if people like me choose to go to the grocery store and these places choose to stay open, I don't understand why we're being told what to do. Look, if your grandma or if you're sick or if you're elderly or if you're have pre-existing conditions, look, I feel really, really bad for you. And that's terrible. And you know what? You should probably stay in the house.
I agree.
But for someone like me who is healthy and who's not going to succumb to COVID-19, and or if I am, I'm the one that put myself in that position. Why am I not allowed to do that? And why am I not allowed to partake in our economy and live my life like I feel like I should? I mean, this entire country was founded on freedom, and freedom means freedom no matter what the circumstances.
Yeah. Rudy, let's transition to football here. You know, good stuff. You've obviously played in a lot of big games. You've won a lot of big games. You've lost some big games. So you kind of you know how it is on both sides of the winning and losing side as a starting quarterback at a big-time Power 5 school like Arizona State. Josh Allen doesn't seem to be nervous of any of these moments. I don't think the Bills have necessarily played well in their first two playoff games, but he's been fine. I mean, passing numbers are okay. He hasn't thrown an interception. You know, it feels to me like the fact that he played college football at Wyoming, where they don't really play any big games, didn't really set in at all. I mean, you look at Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma, you're playing all sorts of big time games at Oklahoma, and he was pretty poised in Kansas City this past weekend as well. What do you make of Josh Allen and how he's really become a leader of this Buffalo Bills team?
Well, you know, I think the big game point you were trying to make, I think is a difficult one. You know, I think so much of playing the quarterback position and playing at a high level, there's obviously so many physical traits that you need, right? And Josh Allen and all these quarterbacks in the NFL have those physical traits. But the big thing is just really trying to understand and figure out how guys are wired. And that's what makes certain guys great and certain guys good and certain guys average. And then, you know, certain guys flame out. It's just really how they're wired. And if NFL teams had access to that information on how this guy is wired, I mean, obviously that would be the kind of holy grail of evaluations, right? And And with Josh Allen, that was the question is, you know, he has all this physical talent, but can he ever put it together? Can he put it together mentally where he's making good decisions? Can he put it together physically where he's able to throw the ball accurately and on time with anticipation, those types of things? And ultimately, the Buffalo Bills bet on the fact he could, and they bet on that based on the research they did and how he was wired. And based on that research, they felt like, number one, he'd be able to handle big games, and two, he'd be able to handle big games in Buffalo because he's playing in bad weather and snowy weather and rain and sleet and wind and all that stuff in Wyoming. So he could handle that and had the physical traits to handle that type of environment. But ultimately, I think playing well in big games or playing well anywhere really comes down to your confidence. And your confidence really, you know, it comes from your preparation. And I think right now with Josh Allen and Brian Daboll and Sean McDermott calling the defense, Brian calling the offense with Josh, I just think they're in a really, really, really good groove right now. I think they really understand the identity of that football team and how they want to run the football, how they want to throw the football, how they want to play defense behind that offense, and how they believe they can win as a unit. And I really think, obviously, adding Cole Beasley and then obviously Stephon Diggs to really helped Josh Allen. I think it really helped Josh Allen, obviously, as a player from a physical standpoint, because now he's got guys who can consistently win, you know, in zone coverage or one-on-one coverage, you know, Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs I'm talking about. But I also think it gave Josh a whole lot of mental confidence, because going to get a guy like Cole or going to get a guy and trading for a guy like Stephon Diggs the way that they did, I think really showed Josh that this organization has a lot of confidence in me and they believe we're close. Mm-hmm. And I think that as a quarterback, that makes you feel like, okay, this is really my team. This is really my organization. This team's really going to go as far as I'm going to take them. And that can obviously, I think, bring a quarterback's play to a whole new level.
I agree. I've been very impressed with this young man so far throughout his career. It's been fun to watch, and you know the Bills finally have something to cheer for up there in Buffalo. It's been a very, very long time since they've been this good. Also, the Kansas City Chiefs this is the third straight year that they will be hosting the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead Stadium. That's never been done before. No team's ever hosted three straight conference championship games at home. That's pretty impressive in itself. So the Bills have a different challenge here. Going to Patrick Mahomes, I'll ask you this, Rudy. Have you ever been choked out during a football game?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's what I mean, right? I haven't paid attention to the news this week in the NFL. Are they saying that's what happened to Patrick? Because that's sure what it looked like.
There was a report out of Kansas City that he did not have a concussion. He actually had a pinched nerve in his neck. And that's what caused like some blood flow into his head or something like that that made him woozy.
That's exactly what it looked like, and I think Dr. Chow on Twitter was talking about it a little bit too, but that's what it looked like to me. I mean, it was a very weird injury. It didn't hit his head very hard, but look, I'm happy for Andy Reid. He's such a good dude, and he's done it the right way for so long, and Patrick Mahomes is also such a good dude and such a good player. He does things the right way, in my opinion, the way he carries himself on the field, and I think he does a really good job. You know, I may not agree with all of his opinions, but he in my view, he represents the NFL and the Shield the way that they want it to be represented. And I think he does a great job both on and off the field. So, you know, he's an unbelievable player, and Andy Reid just struck gold with him. And it's really, in my view, a special time to watch a guy like Patrick Mahomes, because they only come around, you know, every so often. But I also think too that, you know, I think this is really awesome for the Kansas City fan base, because if you've ever played in the NFL, you know, there are a few stadiums you can travel to. You can go to Pittsburgh. You can go to Kansas City. There are a few places you can go where you know that fan base is always going to show up on game day and be loud, really no matter if the team's good, bad, or indifferent, at least in our view, how we viewed it in the NFL. And so I think, you know, I'm obviously happy for that fan base. I mean, it's a really special time for them right now, and hopefully they'll be able to ride this train for a long time.
All right, Rudy, we'll get you out of here on this. Let's talk about the old guys in the other game. Tom Brady, 43, Aaron Rodgers, 37. It's hard to believe that they're like 6 years apart. And did you just miss Aaron Rodgers at Cal? I think he had graduated before you were in the Pac-12, correct?
No, he was there my true freshman year.
Okay.
We played a game against him with our starting quarterback was Andrew Walter. Mm-hmm. So it was up in Cal Bay area. Andrew and Aaron, I think they beat us with like a weird score, like 18-0. But, I mean, Aaron is just an unbelievable player.
He's having an MVP year. It's going to be him.
Oh man, it's going to be him. And it's also amazing, too, because so many people, obviously, on Twitter – the night of the draft, we're calling this that Aaron Rodgers is probably going to play out of his mind this year because he's so irritated or pissed off that the Packers drafted a quarterback in the first round and traded for him, up for him. Right. And that's exactly what happened. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers needed that motivation. I do know that Aaron, probably would have been happy if they would have gotten him some more weapons and some more playmakers. But I mean, Aaron's just playing out of his head. And Davante Adams to me is a top five wide receiver in the NFL. I know that he gets credit, and I know that people are starting to recognize how good he really is, but I still think he's a wildly underrated wide receiver.
All right, Rudy, thank you so much for your time. We'll have to do this again. This was a lot of fun. You have a great perspective on a lot of things. And, I think you and I have a similar mind when it comes to some of the stuff that's going on in our country. And I think it's a good start to maybe try to get this thing to turn around and not be so overwhelmed by the liberal media in news and in sports.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got to keep having our voices heard, my man. Keep it up and try not to get kicked out of any parks this weekend. All right.
All right. All right, Spence. Take care, man.
All right. Thanks. That's Rudy Carpenter, former Arizona State quarterback here on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Chiefs and Bills is the game of the weekend, obviously, the one that we're watching. Tampa Bay and Green Bay is the first game on Sunday afternoon. Cannot wait. There is nothing better than conference championship week in Kansas City. I am just absolutely jacked up for this one. I'm here in Phoenix, so I might try to get some golf in before that game. It's supposed to rain, though. I don't know. We'll see. Anyways, have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the game with your family and friends, and just be safe out there. Keep your heads up. I know all the conservatives out there, today is not what we had in mind, but you know what? We're going to make the best of it, and we're going to just keep chugging and just keep living life, baby. Just be well. All right, everybody. Go Chiefs. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.